Today's reading is Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 49. It starts on page 1051 in the Pew Bible. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. But what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Human beings have... Human beings have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man.
Yeah, these bodies. They get decrepit. Thank you for the example and all of that. But what are we going to do with them? You know? That's always been a problem. What do we do with these bodies of ours? And so some people invest fortunes in trying to make them look better. The whole cosmetic industry and hair coloring and Botox and surgeries and all kinds of things. They put a lot of money, spend a lot of money just to try to get this body to look better. We work hard to keep them in shape. And so we, you know, eat right, we exercise, we do all those things, good things. It's one answer. What do we do with these bodies? Other people say, well, it's a losing battle anyway, so forget it. And we just kind of ignore our bodies. We maybe mistreat them or whatever. And so while we're alive, we struggle with, what do we do with the body? You know, as we talk about the soul, and we know that we need to be right with God and all of that, but what about this body? And then we die. And then the next question, what do we do with these bodies? Some people very carefully, in some cultures very carefully, embalm the body to preserve it as long as possible. Others have in their culture just wrap it and bury it quickly. Islamic cultures and some of the Orthodox Jewish cultures, you've got to bury the very next day because you don't put any extra time or money into it. And then others, of course, have a culture of you cremate the body. You have a funeral pyre or you burn it or whatever. There's all kinds of different approaches. That's been going on for ages. You know, we still enjoy what's going to be found in the next pyramid and the next hidden tomb in Egypt somewhere. And you have the tradition of building these elaborate pyramids as a place for the body of a pharaoh. And in with it was all kinds of gold and and precious things, and those bodies were really carefully wrapped up and embalmed so that they would last and still look pretty decent today. A little dry and flaky, but you can still see what that body looked like.
When we lived in New Mexico with the Navajo culture, had some of that same idea, and I remember standing at many cemeteries with the burial taking place, and then after the Christian burial was done, then you'd hear the gunshot off in the distance, just over the hill where a horse was killed, and that was buried along with a saddle and with jewelry and things that would be needed for the journey to the afterlife. The Greeks, on the other hand, they had their answer. What do you do with this body? Well, it didn't really matter. They didn't value it very much. They valued the soul, but the body was considered just to be what kept the soul down. It was a prison for the soul. And so that led to two different approaches. What do you do with these bodies? Well, they don't matter anyway. Live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up and do whatever you want. Satisfy every desire because the body doesn't matter anyway. And others, on the other hand, were you just don't do anything with it. You were the ascetics. You mistreat it. You just deny the body completely. All of those questions have been there for ages. And it's in that kind of an environment, one of the questions as Christians we ask ourselves, what do we do with these bodies? We talk about life. We're celebrating post-Easter. We're celebrating new life. What does it have to say about the body? Well, it tells us, first of all, the Bible gives us direction. It says these bodies are important. They are not prison for the soul. God created us physically, humanly, as body and soul, not just spirits. So we have a responsibility to care for these bodies. We confess as Christians that what is your comfort in life and in death? Is that I, my body and soul, in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior. This body is important, and so we have a responsibility to care for it. But there's also a future for these bodies of ours. And that's kind of a special thing in the Christian teaching. That's what Paul deals with here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's not an easy chapter. It's one we read a lot, because it also affirms, again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it teaches us some things about it. But really, you know, the issue that why does Paul deal with this whole resurrection thing, was because, again, in Corinth, there were some of these Greek people who had come from a Greek background, who said, hey, this body, you know, once it's done, it's, put it in the ground and let it rot, and that's the end of the story. We don't worry about it. There is no resurrection of the body. Well, yeah, Jesus was raised. That was special. But there is no such thing as the body resurrection for a Christian or for any other human being. And Paul says, wait a minute. And that's really what he's dealing with. And he says, if we are not raised physically, then Jesus wasn't either, because Jesus isn't that, he's God, but he's also very human. And the fact is that his body was raised. And so earlier in the chapter, in verses 13 and 14, he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, of us, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, your faith is useless, there's nothing. You can't have just Jesus' resurrection without having something to do with these bodies of ours. And this is more than just a theological debate or an argument that Paul's making. It's not just a philosophical thing that says the Greek philosophers were wrong, but it's a very hopeful argument. It gives me great hope. Because you see, we have a sister-in-law who is dying, whose body is going to give out probably very soon. We got back last night and there was an email from a cousin of mine. I have an aunt who's up there in years, but she is probably in her very last days as well. And so there's the reality of death. But it's not the end of the story. There's hope in this teaching. And as I recall, loved ones of mine that
have died and whose bodies have been placed into a Tennessee hillside or under a big tree in a Michigan cemetery. This gives me hope. There is more than just what's here. And when I think then of my own life and what will come someday, this gives me hope. When Jesus rose on Easter Sunday morning, and we celebrate life on Easter and every Sunday, and as Christians we keep on celebrating as Easter people, it's not just spiritual life. Last Sunday we looked at from Romans chapter 6 about how if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we will also certainly be united with him in a resurrection life like his. If we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We saw how that is a spiritual, a new life for the Spirit, but it also promises me and us that there is a new body that's going to come. And that's what we can also celebrate. So let's look at that as Paul deals with it here in 1 Corinthians 15, and particularly a couple of parts of what Harry read for us. And the first part is Paul uses the analogy of a seed, and he reflects upon that, verses 37 and 38. He says, when you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. So he's talking there about seeds. And of course it's a very appropriate time of the year to be talking about seeds. Farmers are putting the seeds in the ground. Gardeners are working up the soil and getting their gardens started, and we put seeds. Paul's not the only one who uses that word picture. Remember, Jesus said the same thing one time in John chapter 12 when some Greeks came to him and asked about... they wanted to see Jesus, and then Jesus' response was, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. He uses that picture there about his own death and about the incredible result that came because Jesus died and was raised again. So what do we learn if we take a seed? And Paul uses the kernel of wheat. So let's imagine you've got in your hand a little kernel of wheat. What does it tell us? It tells us, first of all, that death comes before life. Every seed that gets planted in a garden or in a field goes through that process. It dies. It dies. Now, you can do that in a garden. You can pull up, you planted some beans or corn or whatever, and you've got a little seed laying there, and you pull it up. And you may see after a while, after it's been in the ground a little while, it's still a little shell, a little husk of it. But after a while, you pull it up, the next one a couple days later, even that's gone. The seed died, but there's something that comes from it. Well, Jesus' resurrection doesn't do away with our death. It's still very real. Unless Jesus returns first, we are all going to go through that experience of having this body, this seed, put into the ground, and it decays, and it dissolves. But, remember, a seed is put in the ground to teach us that that is not the end. Death isn't the end of the story, in spite of what many people think. There are an awful lot of people who live their lives as if you go around once, and that's it, so you better go with all the gusto you can put in this life, because that's all there is. I wonder sometimes when I see in the obituaries in a newspaper, there will be no services. I wonder if sometimes it's because the philosophy has been, you get one life, that's it, we're done with it. That's the end of the story. Death comes first, but it's not the end of the story. The seed tells us something more. And one of the things it tells us is that there's going to be some discontinuity from the seed to what comes. So Paul says, to each kind of seed he gives its own body. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed. perhaps of wheat or something else. You plant the seed, it's not what's going to come from that directly. That kernel of wheat, again, put it in the ground, that little tiny thing, doesn't look at all like the green shoot that comes up, or the sprout that comes from that, and then the stalk that goes on there, and then you got this sheet of new wheat, and it's kind of hidden in there. There's all kinds of other stuff that comes first. When our bodies are raised for eternity, there's going to be a difference from the body that is put into the ground. And so when my body is raised, I'm not going to need these glasses anymore. Betsy can't wait till the day she just gets rid of that walker. She's not going to need it anymore. Here this morning on the radio or on TV, a story about a little baby that died of SIDS. But that baby, when that infant who died is raised, it will no longer need to be cared for as a little baby. And my mother, who in the last year of her life needed to be fed and needed to have everything done for her, when her body is raised, she's not going to need that anymore. There's a discontinuity. There's something different about the raised body from the one that's put into the ground. But there's also a lot of continuity. And that's what Paul also talks about when he says, but God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. You put a wheat kernel in the ground, and you're not going to get an onion growing out of that wheat. You're going to get a wheat plant. There's a continuity. The same person who died and was buried is the same person who rises. Because I'm not just a soul. My body is a vital part of who I am now. And also, it will be that way when it comes to eternity. Now, people ask, children especially, they ask me, you know, are there going to be pets? Are we going to have our pets in heaven? Are there going to be plants in heaven? I don't have an answer to that one, okay? So if your kids, you know, when they come to you with that question, don't say, talk to Pastor Gelder, okay? Because I don't, can't give them an answer for sure either. I do know, though, that if there are, a dog is still going to be a dog. And if they're plants, a pansy is going to be a pansy. There's that continuity. What I do know is that when I am raised, I will still be Al Gelder. There's going to be that continuity there. And that's why I believe that we can say that we will recognize people, that there's going to be some recognition because I'm still going to be me. You're going to be you. Now, there's going to be changes. Relationships are going to be different. Jesus said something about, you know, not marrying and giving in marriage and so on. And there's going to be some differences there. But there is that continuity. We can learn a lot. And we get out into our gardens this year and put those seeds in the ground. Think about these things. And think about what it means for you and for your body. But there are contrasts. And Paul goes on. While there's continuity, there are important differences. And so in verses 42 to 44, he lays out four of these differences. And in each of them, the differences are improvements. So let's look at them. In verse 42, he says, the body that is sown is perishable. It will be raised imperishable. It's true. From the time a little baby is born, they are already on the road to death. We don't like to think about that, but we think about all the potential and all the positives, and that we should. And yet we realize that these bodies, from the beginning, are going to get to a point where they perish. Sickness can come at any age. We get worried now because we hear about a new strain of the flu that may be getting the threat of being pandemic. And it's striking healthy, middle-aged 20 to 40-year-olds, whatever. And we say, whoa. But we know that that's true. Death can come, whether it's at 9 months or 9 years or 19 years or 90 years. But the body is perishable. But the new body, the one that's going to be raised, is going to be imperishable. It's going to be perfect. I love the verse in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, where it says, there will be, in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. This old order of things passed away. That's an improvement. And I'm grateful for that. There's also the contrast from dishonor to glory. Verse 43, it's sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. You know, we try to mask death in many ways, but there's something about the decay of a body that is dishonorable. All the flowers that we put around at a funeral, the beautiful wood of some caskets, but it doesn't mask. It doesn't remove, it masks, but it does not remove the reality. And that's why we get to that point when we say, dust to dust, and ashes to ashes. And that is the reality, the dishonorable reality of this present body. But the resurrected body is going to be raised like Jesus' glorious body. I like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. And he talks about what we're waiting for as Christians. He says we are already heavenly citizens, but he says we eagerly await a Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control is going to transform our lowly, dishonorable bodies so that they will be like Jesus' glorious body. We're going to be like Jesus. Now that's glory. He says it goes from weakness to power. Again, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. No matter how good a shape we're in, and we work out and we try to make ourselves as healthy and as strong as possible, but you put in a really long, hard day, and you get home and you're tired. These bodies have weakness to them. You get one of these nasty cold viruses that some of you had this winter, and it just lays you low for a week or longer. Part of the indignity that comes along with aging is not being able to do everything like we used to be able to do it. The frustration that goes along with that. I think frustration is maybe the curse of life. You get so frustrated. I can't do what I used to be able to do. But, you know, one of the beautiful things about heaven is in heaven, I am not going to be frustrated. I can guarantee it. I know I will not be frustrated. I'll be able to do all that I need to do. The work, and I think there's going to be work in heaven. It's not going to be sweat and tiring. It's going to be good stuff. But I'll be able to do everything that I want to do to praise God. My voice isn't going to give out, and I praise, and I'm in no frustrations. There's going to be a power that's going to be there. I'm not going to need my news time naps anymore, or whatever it might be. From weakness to power. And from the natural to the spiritual. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. The problem with these present bodies of ours is that they're natural. Now, it doesn't mean nature is bad. The problem is that nature and everything natural has been affected by sin. And so, after Eden, we've got the reality, you will surely die. And it happened. But it's not only that they just decompose or they fall apart in the weakness part, but we end up using them wrong. That's part of the problem of the natural. We use our bodies to do wrong things. Paul puts it, earthen vessels, or, another translation, we're just a bunch of cracked pots. And, you know, that's the way it is. We don't use our bodies for what they ought to be used for. But in heaven, they're going to be spiritual. They're going to be perfectly filled with the Holy Spirit. And we will do whatever it is God calls us to do, and we will do it perfectly. We'll be like Jesus was in those 40 days after, between Easter and the Ascension. Unlimited. He kind of went through doors and could show up and so on. We're going to be unlimited. We're going to be perfectly focused on doing God's will and doing God's work. I could say a lot more about the Christian view of the body. I'm not going to go there. But let me simply conclude by giving you homework. Giving you a challenge for today. Go home, eat a healthy meal, take a walk, throw a baseball with your kids, take a nap if you need it. In other words, go home, live right, right now. But remember, the best is yet to come. Some of you know the story. I'll tell it to you later. But just remember, you forgot it. Keep your fork in your hand. Just remember, keep your fork in your hand and put it in the casket.